Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Nazir Daf Nun Hey, the seventh parak Kohen Gadol. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara suggests that there's a machlokes tanaim about the nature of the tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. Hanichnas Eretz Ha'amim b'shita tiva umigdal, one who enters the land of the nations in a carriage, trunk, or closet, which are impervious to tumah. Rabbi says he is tameh, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says he is tahor. The Gemara first assumes that Rebbe holds that the tumah imposed on Eretz Ha'amim is regarding its airspace, so the container does not protect him from tumah. And Rebbe Yossi bar Rebbe Yehuda holds it's because of the soil for possible unknown grace, so the container protects him from tumah. Three alternate explanations are offered. Number one, all time hold the soil is matameh, but disagree if a moving ohel blocks tumah, which we're going to talk about in the next point. Number two, all time agree that the airspace is matameh, but they argue if the decree included an unusual mode of entry, such as a trunk, as opposed to a boat or a wagon. And number three, they argue if he is considered tummy because they were concerned shemayotzi rosh v'ruvusham. Perhaps he may extend his head and most of his body out over the soil. Point number two, the Gemara before suggested that all time hold that the soil of Eretz Ha'amim is matame, but Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds ohel zaruk shmei ohel. A moving ohel is considered an ohel. The container, although it's in motion, still qualifies as an ohel to block the soil's tumah from penetrating. Rebbe holds ohel zaruk lo shmei ohel. A moving ohel is not considered an ohel, so the nazir is not protected from the tumah beneath him. According to our Gemara, the Gemara challenges this interpretation from a brisa, in which Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, Teva shehimolei kelim, a trunk full of utensils, v'zark al panei hames tamei, and one threw it over a corpse, it is tamei. V'imhaisa munachas tohora, but if it was at rest, it is tahor. This demonstrates that Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds that a moving ohel does not qualify as an ohel. Therefore, this explanation of the machlokas is rejected. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that a metzor's day of counting and days of confirmed tzaras are not counted towards his naziris. Rav Chista qualifies this. Well, shanu'e alba naziris mu'etas. They only taught this regarding a short naziris. Avalba naziris meruba misalk nami salkinle. But for a lengthy naziris, the tzaras days are also counted towards his naziris. They do not count for a short naziris simply because the metzor must shave his entire body at the end of his tahara process, and a nazir must have a 30-day growth of hair to complete his naziris. Rav Sharavia challenged him from our Mishnah, which taught that he begins to count after his tahara and does not forfeit previous days. This cannot refer to a minimum naziris of 30 days, because since he requires a 30-day growth, he would forfeit his previously observed days after shaving for his saras. Rather, it must refer to a lengthy naziris, yet it states that the saras days are not counted. He answered that it can be discussing a 50-day naziris, for example, in which he observed 20 days and saras developed, therefore he shaves for his saras and observes the remaining 30 days of naziris, the ha'isle gidol se'ar, since he has the requisite 30-day growth of hair. Rav Chista is successfully challenged on the next daf. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara suggests that there's a machlokes tanaim about the nature of the tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. Hanichnas Eretz Ha'amim b'shita tiva umigdal, one who enters the land of the nations in a carriage, trunk, or closet, which are impervious to tumah. Rebbe says he is tameh, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says he is tahor. The Gemara first assumes that Rebbe holds that the tumah imposed on Eretz Ha'amim is regarding its airspace, so the container does not protect him from tumah. And Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds it's because of the soil for possible unknown grace, so the container protects him from tumah. Three alternate explanations are offered. Number one, alternaim hold the soil is matameh, but disagree if a moving ohel blocks tumah, which we're going to talk about in the next point. Number two, alternaim agree that the airspace is matameh, but they argue if the decree included an unusual mode of entry, such as a trunk, as opposed to a boat or a wagon. And number three, they argue if he is considered tummy because they were concerned shemayotzi rosh v'ruvusham. Perhaps he may extend his head and most of his body out over the soil. Point number two, the Gemara before suggested that alternaim hold that the soil of Eretz Ha'amim is matameh, but Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds ohel zaruk shmei ohel. A moving ohel is considered an ohel. The container, although it's in motion, still qualifies as an ohel to block the soil's tumah from penetrating. Rebbe holds ohel zaruk lo shmei ohel. A moving ohel is not considered an ohel, so the nazir is not protected from the tumah beneath him. According to our Gemara, the Gemara challenges this interpretation from a brisa, in which Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, Teva shehimolei kelim, a trunk full of utensils, v'zark al panei hames tamei, and one threw it over a corpse, it is tamei. V'imhaisa munachas tohora, but if it was at rest, it is tahor. This demonstrates that Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds that a moving ohel does not qualify as an ohel. Therefore, this explanation of the machlokas is rejected. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that a Metzor's day of counting and days of confirmed Tzaraz are not counted towards his Naziris. Rav Chisda qualifies this. While Shanu el b'Naziris mu'etas, they only taught this regarding a short Naziris. Aval b'Naziris meruba misalk nami salkinle, but for a lengthy Naziris, the Tzaraz days are also counted towards his Naziris. They do not count for a short Naziris simply because the Metzor must shave his entire body at the end of his Tahara process, and another must have a 30-day growth of hair to complete his Naziris. Rav Sharavia challenged him from our Mishnah, which taught that he begins to count after his Tahara and does not forfeit previous days. This cannot refer to a minimum Naziris of 30 days because since he requires a 30-day growth, he would forfeit his previously observed days after shaving for his Tzaraz. Rather, it must refer to a lengthy Naziris, yet it states that the Tzaraz days are not counted. He answered that it can be discussing a 50-day Naziris, for example, in which he observed 20 days and Tzaraz developed, therefore he shaves for his Tzaraz and observes the remaining 30 days of Naziris, the Ha'isle Gidol Sear, since he has the requisite 30-day growth of hair. Rav Chisda successfully challenged on the next daf. All right, so now we go to our simon for daf Nun Hey, and this simon was suggested to us way back in Brachas when we had the Choose a Simon contest, where every day for the last number of blot, people offered suggestions for what we should call the simon, which would then be used throughout our going through Shas together. So for Daf Nun Hey, we had three winners. They all suggested the same simon. We have Mordechai Kornbluth from Boston, Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn, and Noach Rubin from London. They all suggested that Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. Speed limit sign of 55 miles per hour. So here goes. The importer of hairy speed limit signs who came to Chutz La'aretz in a carriage pulled out a sign when he saw a trunk full of utensils whizzing through the airspace over a corpse not acting as an ohel, which was thrown by a Naz who was upset that his days of confirmed Tzaraz do not count towards his short Naziris. Once again, slow motion. The importer of hairy speed limit signs, that must be more in Duff Nun Hey. The importer of hairy speed limit signs who came to Chutz La'aretz in a carriage, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three alternative explanations in the Machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda in the case of one who enters Eretz Ha'amim, the land of the nations, in a carriage trunk or closet, which are impervious to Tuma. So the importer of hairy speed limit signs who came to Chutz La'aretz in a carriage pulled out a sign when he saw a trunk full of utensils whizzing through the airspace over a corpse, not acting as an ohel, which reminds us, the Gemara refutes the explanation that the Machlokes was whether one holds ohel zaruk shmei ohel, whether a moving ohel is considered an ohel, proving the Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is not considered an ohel, for he ruled in a case of a trunk full of utensils being thrown over a corpse, that they are tame. So the importer of hairy speed limit signs who came to Chutz La'aretz in a carriage pulled out a sign when he saw a trunk full of utensils whizzing through the airspace over a corpse not acting as an ohel, which was thrown by a Nazir who was upset that his days of confirmed Tzaraz do not count towards his short Naziris. Which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that a Metzor's days of counting and days of confirmed Tzaraz are not counted towards his Naziris. Rav Chisda qualifies this. They only taught this regarding a short Naziris, but for a lengthy Naziris, the Tzaraz days are also counted towards his Naziris. They do not count for his short Naziris simply because the Metzor must shave his entire body at the end of his Tahara process, and a Nazir must have a 30-day growth of hair to complete his Naziris. Rav Sharavia challenges him from our Mishnah, and Rav Chisda is refuted on the following daf. So once again, the importer of hairy speed limit signs who came to Chutz La'aretz in a carriage pulled out a sign when he saw a trunk full of utensils whizzing through the airspace over a corpse not acting as an ohel, which was thrown by a Naz who was upset that his days of confirmed Tzaraz do not count towards his short Naziris. All right, so now it's time for Four Bala Bach Chazar. Daf Nun Aleph. So the simmer Daf Nun Aleph is a gnawing beaver. So here goes. The gnawing beaver, that must be more on Daf Nun Aleph. Gnawing beaver. The gnawing beaver got so frustrated that he couldn't gnaw his way into a marble casket that contained two decaying corpses, which reminds us, a braisa teaches, ezu meis sheyesh rek, of which corpse has the law of corpse dust that a later falls matame, a corpse which was buried unclothed in a marble coffin or on a stone floor, its rek of is matame because there are no other decaying elements mixed in. Rabbi Yochanan said, two corpses which were buried together become an admixture for each other because each is a foreign substance to the other and their combined rekiv is not matame. So the gnawing beaver got so frustrated that he couldn't gnaw his way into a marble casket that contained two decaying corpses that he tripped on hair that was connected to a corpse, which reminds us, Rabbi Barachama quoted Rabbi Yochanan, if someone cut a corpse's hair and buried it with the corpse, it becomes an admixture with it and the ensuing rekiv is not matame. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, all parts of a corpse are tame, except for the teeth, hair, and nails, but while they are attached, they are all tame. So the gnawing beaver got so frustrated that he couldn't gnaw his way into a marble casket that contained two decaying corpses, that he tripped on hair that was connected to a corpse and landed on a pregnant woman's stomach as she started yelling that her uber is like her thigh. Which reminds us, Ravirmiya asked, is a fetus in a woman's womb an admixture or not? Do we say that since uber yerech imo, a fetus, is like the mother's thigh, for various halachas, it's considered part of her body? Or since it was destined to leave her body, it's considered separate? Daf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The hairy newbie to Yiddishkeit. Newbie to Yiddishkeit? That must be more than Daf Nun Beis. The hairy newbie to Yiddishkeit, who was a curator at the Anatomical Tumah Museum, was shocked when his pet chomet that was missing a leg, which reminds the Gemara brings a brice which derives that the shear for a sheretz to be metame requires until he touches a part of them that is tantamount to its entirety insignificance, and the chomet has to be the size of a lentil because a chomet, the small sheretz, is the size of a lentil at its creation, so any part of a sheretz this size is significant. The Gemara argues that if a creature missing a limb could still be metame, then a chomet even smaller than a lentil at its creation would be metame. The Gemara answers that a chomet cannot acquire a life force if it was missing any limbs. Only once alive could it continue living without a limb. So the hairy newbie to Yiddishkeit, who was a curator at the Anatomical Tumah Museum, was shocked when his pet chomet that was missing a leg knocked over an old spinal column on display, severing it from the skull, which reminds us, the Gemara poses a question, does the Mishnah mean a spinal column and a skull together are metame? Or perhaps it means either a spinal column or a skull is metame. The Gemara's first proof is rejected. So the hairy newbie to Yiddishkeit, who was a curator at the Anatomical Tumah Museum, was shocked when his pet chomet that was missing a leg knocked over an old spinal column on display, severing it from the skull, and then quickly ran to hide at the visiting display of six cases where one rabbi ruled tameh and the majority ruled tahor. Which reminds us, Gemara attempts another proof from a list of six cases which Rabbi Kiva ruled tameh and the Rabban ruled tahor, and Rabbi Kiva later retracted. The sixth case mentioned was a spinal column and skull combined from two corpses. Now, if a spinal column and skull would each be metame independently, then the list totals seven cases, not six. The Gemara offers four answers. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nazir who didn't become tame by being in the same room with the scary, hairy Nigerian prince, that must be more on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nazir who didn't become tame by being in the same room with the scary, hairy Nigerian prince holding a quarter cup of bones and a revius of blood, which reminds us, the Gemara brings an early machlokes about the volume of bones and blood for tumah through an oel, and our Mishnah and the Mishnah and oels reflect a later compromise. The basin after them said, a chetzi cup of bones and a chetzi log of blood are sufficient for all tumah, but a quarter cup of bones and a revius blood are sufficient only to be metame, truma, and kachim. Avalola nazva osa pesach, but not for a nazir to require shaving, although he's tamei, or one performing a carbon pesach. The Mishnah follows this position because it's a tradition received from Chagai Zachariah and Malachi. So the nazir who didn't become tamei by being in the same room with a scary, hairy Nigerian prince holding a quarter cup of bones and a revius of blood as a limb with insufficient flesh to regenerate was lying on the floor, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis taught that only a limb with sufficient flesh to regenerate is metamei through ohel. About limbs with insufficient flesh, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein ha-nazir megaleach alehen, a nazir would not shave because of them, even through touching or caring, and they do not convey to him at all. Rish Lakish says, Ha-nazir megaleach alehen, a nazir must shave because of them, meaning they do transmit tuma through touching or caring, which is derived on the next daf. So the nazir who didn't become tummy by being in the same room with a scary, hairy Nigerian prince holding a quarter cup of bones and a revius of blood as a limb with insufficient flesh to regenerate was lying on the floor, accidentally formed an ohel over a corpse holding a sword as he ran out and stepped out onto a field, which reminds us. Our Brisa teaches about the pasuk which states, "Because sheyiga al pnei hasad b'chal cherev o b'meis," and whoever touches on the open field the body of one killed by a sword or any corpse, it darshens each phrase to teach what is metame through ohel. Al pnei hasad on the open field, zehamayil al pnei hameis. This refers to one who forms an ohel over a corpse. Cherev harze kachala, sword, teaches that the sword is metame like the body, meaning it can be metame with ohel and impart the same degree of tuma as a corpse. Daf Nun Dalet, the Simmer Daf Nun Dalet is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The hairy pasta chef Nazir, pasta chef, that must be more on Daf Nun Dalet, noodles. There he passed the chef Nazir, who was thrilled he didn't have to shave, for passing through a base of pras, where he touched a kli that touched a maize. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists sources of tumah that a Nazir would not shave for contracting from them, either because their tumah is the rabban or because they're excluded. Included in the list are schachus and pros, tumah transmitted from canopies or protrusions, a base of pras, a field in which a grave was plowed over and is rabbinically tameh, eretz ha'amin, the land of the nations, which is metameh, hagol of a dofik, the cover or walls of a coffin, the kelim enogim and mace, and kelim that touch a corpse. So, there he passed the chef Nazir, who was thrilled he didn't have to shave, for passing through a base of pras, where he touched a kli that touched a maize, sat down to eat a bowl of noodles under a canopy formed by a tree branch and a stone protrusion from a wall. Which reminds us, the Gemara defines schachos and pros. Schachos, ilan ha-mesach ha-arts, it's when a tree hangs over the ground, the tumah is under one of the branches, which is a tefach and width, creating an oil, but it's unknown which branch. Pros are protrusions extending out of a wall. Segments of stone extend out from a wall at a tefach and width and length, and the tumah is under one identified protrusion. One who passes under one of these branches or stone protrusions is rabbinically tameh, which does not require nazir to shave. So the hairy pastor chef Nazir was thrilled he didn't have to shave for passing through a base of pras, where he touched a kli that touched a maize, sat down to eat a bowl of noodles under a canopy formed by a tree branch and a stone protrusion from a wall during his trip to Chutz Lartz, where tumah was decreed because of its airspace. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks about the nature of the tumah of land outside of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz ha'amim mishum avir gazra aleha, did they decree tumah on the land of the nations because of its airspace to discourage people from leaving Eretz Yisrael? Or dilma mishum gush gazra aleha, or perhaps they decreed it because of its soil out of concern for unknown graves. A nafka mina would be where one entered the airspace while protected from the tumah of the soil, such as in a large container, which does not contract tumah. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which duff do we have machok is whether a nazir would have to shave for touching or carrying limbs with insufficient flesh to regenerate? That's on duff. Nun gimel. Good. Number 2. Which duff are three alternative explanations brought in the machok is regarding one who enters chutzlars in a carriage, trunk, or closet? That's on duff. Nun hey. Good. Number 3. Which duff does Gemara discuss six cases which Rabbi Kiva ruled tame and the Rabban ruled tahor and Rabbi Kiva later retracted? That's on duff. Nun beis. Good. Number 4. Which duff do you learn when a corpse is buried unclothed in a marble coffin, its rekav is matame since there are no other elements mixed in? That's on duff. Nun aleph. Good. Number 5. Which duff did a Mishnah list sources of tumah that a nazir would not shave for, such as going through a base of pras? That's on duff. Nun dalad. Good. Number 6. Which duff do we learn that it's determined that the machlokes regarding one entering chutzlars in a carriage, trunk, or closet is not whether ohel zaruk shmei ohel? That's on duff. Nun hey. Good. Number 7. Which duff do we learn a quarter cup of bones and a revius of blood are sufficient only to be matame truma and kachim, but not for a nazir or one performing a karpon pesach? That's on duff. Nun gimel. Good. Number 8. Which of the one the Rav Chista taught that the teaching that a Mitzvah's days of counting and days of confirmed Tzaras are not counted towards his Naziris only applies to a short Naziris? That's on duff. Nun hey. Good. Number 9. Which of the have a question if the Tumah of Eretz Amim is because of airspace or land? That's on duff. Nun dalad. Good. Number 10. Which of the one is a machlokes if the shear from Melo Tarvad Rekav, a ladleful of corpse dust, is a palmful or a handful? That's on duff. Nun. Excellent. That concludes today's shear. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.